Welcome, 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 Wahoo fans, to this week's edition of The Lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Special edition this week. Yo, it's about to go down. Game week, baby. Yeah. Game week, Hawk.
Yeah, man, the hell with y'all guests. We talking football and upcoming opponent to kick off. God damn it, this our hype podcast right here. We're going to intro this day going. Did I curse too early? I think this FCC allowed that. That's how hype I am.
Okay? I understand. I got you, fam. I got you. 100%. Always. Yeah, man. So it's the time we've been waiting for. You know, new coaching staff, a lot of returning guys, a lot of new guys. And, you know, it seems like we're going to have some good energy. The Charlottesville is a buzz. What you hearing on the local scene, fam?
And locally, man, they chomping at the bit. Coach Elliott is, you know, you don't want to say he's saying the right things because to me that's like he's selling and he's not organic. So he's just being himself. He understands the tradition of our great university and our program of the pastime. He's just building off what the great one, George Welch, built. And he's trying to build onto that legacy, man. And he's going about it the right way. And everything he's expressing, the fans are loving. And when they had the first years at the stadium, it was a great turnout. They got a new tradition. He's having the team as one go out on Fridays. You know, when they go to Chili's and stuff, Broncos used to have like the captains. Well, he's going to take the whole squad out there. So nice. It's just showing you, man, it's this, he's unifying the fans and the team. That's one, man. And it's excitement is buzzing. And I know it's a 12:30 game and sometimes folks that's traveling stuff for them, but yeah, I think it's going to be a great turnout.
Yeah. You know, it's great because he's embraced a lot of the old traditions. And I think fans really appreciate that part. As we create, you know, new legacies, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we built this thing back in the day and we've had some fits and starts, and it's great that Coach Elliott has come in and really, really embraced, you know, some of those traditions and embraced combining the university and the community. I am excited. I'm excited to get this ball rolling.
No, I agree with you, man. It's like, this is one of the things where you get a new coach and it's like, all right, what's going to be his traditions? Like, what is he going to try to establish? Is he going to try to reinvent the wheel? And he's like, no, I'm going to just try to add to what was successful here. And even pulling from the success that Bronco had, like some of the traditions he had, like the walkthrough still here. So salute to Coach Elliott. He signed off on that. You know what I'm saying? He could have said, no, I don't want that. But we still got to walk through. And he was our first guest. So that's just something that I'm appreciative of, Coach Elliott. Thank you very much. But I'm excited about it.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, fam, let's jump into a little bit of the depth charts, man. Let's start there. You know, what we think we're going to see and kind of the things that have come up so far. Any surprises to you?
With our depth chart?
With our depth chart, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to keep it all the way at 100. The backup receivers. Because I'm like, what's Starling at? And what's Buddy from Wisconsin at with 15?
Chandler.
I see Sean Moore. Salute to Sean Moore, this Sean Moore. And Luke Wentz, and there's no knock on them, but those are names that fans aren't familiar with. And I know those are the two names that everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's two familiar guys. Well, one familiar guy, Starling, because he's fast than all outdoors. But, you know, they're questioning, like, who is that? So that jumped out to me, you know, offensively.
Yeah, I mean, I know the coach is always preaching consistency. But rumor has it that he was having a great camp. And where is Nathaniel Beal? Is he not back in full go? Or I mean, I didn't see him playing at the scrimmage. So, you know, what's the story on that?
I don't know, man. You know, we're a dynamic duo. I can't have it all to myself. I'm glad you brought that up because I was, you know, I ain't want to rattle off too many names. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's another one. And look, Malachi Fields, unfortunate injury, was having a heck of a spring. And Lavelle Davis is back, folks. You see him listed as the starter. And then with Keaton and Billy, you got Orr, because if we go three wides, it's going to be interesting. Billy will probably be working off the bench just because was still trying to get healthy going into the fall. So I can understand that. But Billy's he's a PT peer, as Dickie V would say. So how about you, man? What's a surprise or another position for you on the offensive side of the ball?
So I'm with you with the backups with Sean Moore and Luke Wentz. Didn't see that coming because of some of the gentlemen that we've already discussed. The Ty Furnace Justice Johnson piece at center was a little surprised about that. I know the coaches were pushing Justice, mm-hmm. and you know, my conversations with Justice, I thought, you know, he had that on lock, but at some point, you know, Ty Furnish, you know, he flipped the script in camp and came on strong. And then probably my most surprising is the left tackle. You know, I did not see Mikael Boley coming in as a true first year, because that didn't happen since, you know, DeBrickashaw, you know what I'm saying?
DeBrickashaw, so, yeah.
So he must be special, because, you know, I mean, but, you know, I like it, because if he's young, I mean, he is young, and they get an opportunity to build some cohesiveness, I'd rather go ahead and get those feet wet against Richmond these first couple of games before we have to get into conference play, so that he gets comfortable in the space. Because it's, you know, hey, it, you know how it is. It hit a little different at the Power Five level coming straight from high school.
Yeah, buddy. And the thing I can say about Mikael is that he's a big one. He's 331. Yeah, and to my knowledge, as far as the guys on the two depth that's showing, he's our biggest lineman by like 15 pounds.
Yeah, he grown. He full grown.
Yeah, he full grown. So he's 6'4", 331, true freshman, left tackle, which is the front side for our left-handed quarterback. Mm-hmm. So for people that may have some type of hesitation right there. But let's go ahead and address the elephant in the room, cuz. The running back position and who's starting.
Yeah.
We got PJ2, Paris Jones. Yep. What's your thoughts on that, bro?
Well, I mean, Coach Elliott has said all along, Coach Kitchens has said all along, that he has been the most consistent. You know, he's doing everything right. And that's what they're looking for. You know, we know that Mike Hollins is a special talent, but we know it because we've seen flashes. And I think what the coaches want, they want him flashing every time he's in there. And so he could take it one or two ways. He can take it like, I got to get more work in. I got to show these coaches that I'm going to be consistent, whatever it is. I don't know whether it's pass blocking, you know, hitting the hole, hitting the appropriate lanes, catching the ball, whatever it is. You know, my hope is that this is going to light a fire under him, and, you know, so that he can show what he can do. I mean, you know, he going to play plenty. We know that.
Yeah, he's going to play.
He's going to play plenty. So I think he'll get those opportunities. But, hey, I'm all about competition, though, fam, for real. So, you know, hey, but we built a little different, too, though. You know, these kids these days, all the whole self-entitlement crap. Look, if you want it, you got to go get it, bro. You know, hey, like I always say, you know, greatness don't come to you. You got to go get greatness, baby. If you want it,
you got to go get it.
It's relentless pursuit to get it. Real talk.
You better go get it every day, because it moves. And look, Paris Jones, former walk-on, a guy that's been around this program for a long time. He's the elder statesman. You got Mike Hollins, who is the talented dynamo from the boot that coaches see how special he is. But the thing about talent is, you got, once you attach responsibility to it, do you really want to be talented? And that's the question. We're not casting aspersions on Mike. And this is more speaking to how special Paris was from the spring all the way through the fall versus what Mike didn't do. Like, I don't want folks just saying, oh, Mike ain't performed. I'm going to see it as this kid was phenomenal. Because that's a talented dude wearing that seven. And then we got Cody from Miami that's still there. And I know, here's my first thing, cuz. Paris is 5'7", 180. First pass pro. You cutting or you thumping?
Right.
Because you can't cut in the A gap. So if they shoot somebody through the A gap, you 5'7", 180. You better goddamn go Mighty Mouse flying fist because you can't cut in the A gap.
No doubt. Punks jump up to get beat down. So
you know what I'm saying? What? So that's the first thing I'm waiting on.
Facts. All right, shoot. Let's flip it to the D, bro. What any surprises for you on that side?
Yeah, man. Mike Green. I'm a Chico Bennett fan, so I ain't gonna say Mike should start over Chico because I'm torn. I like both of them, but Mike won't even like Jack Camper is the second bandit.
He's not even on the depth chart in the 2D.
Nah. So I'm trying to see what's going on there.
I don't know if he's banged up. I hadn't heard anything, but when I saw this, I was shocked. I was taken aback, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, James Jackson, I was hearing rumbling. Like, James is super athletic. Mm-hmm. And the thing about, so if you have Nick Jackson, who could do it all, you need that type of freak because Nick is so smart that he could put the freak in position. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if you started Josh Ahearn beside Nick, you got to have like a yin and a yang. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like when we had Zane, you had to have the same linebacker playing beside Crazy Zane. And I think that's how it is. Like Nick is that stable guy. So you need somebody who could offset what Nick can't do, you know, at a certain level. Like, and I feel like James Jackson is so athletic. Like you got to put him on the field in a sense.
Right. And it makes sense. It makes sense that, you know, has especially the wheel linebacker so that he can just run and go, you know, see ball, get ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And with them having the bandits, see that actually, like in a perfect world, in a true 3-4, that would probably be Hunter where Chico is at. But
true.
How they ask for the bandit, you got to be able to put your hand, like, you got to do a little bit of everything, like play D line. It all reminds me of when like Javon Curse got into the NFL, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Even though Javon was more of a pass rusher, they would stand him up and they made this little hybrid position for him. That's what the bandit kind of reminds me of. I'm not saying, but a bandit guy's got to be a guy who can rush and also cover, in a sense. Because I know it's 3-4, but it's really a 4-3 in a sense.
Okay. Because, you know, and it's because those are bigger guys. You're going to be dropping those big dudes in coverage?
Yeah. See, that, and that's the thing. Because, yeah, Chico is like, what, 6'2", 250?
252. And Campbell, you know what I'm saying? 6'5", 252.
So that's why I kind of look at, that's why I feel like that's what hurt Hunter. Because if we were, because I know he said we are 3-4 when we had our little meet with him. But if you truly a 3-4, then that's Hunter and not Chico. That leads me to believe that's more of like a 4-3 type of mentality, even though you're 3-4.
Yeah. I feel that. But shoot, Hunter ain't no small dude at 242.
No, he not. So, then when I said that, I looked down like, yo, they all some, they be like 10 pounds apart.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. I mean, and he can run, hunt, thump. I think, you know, it has some issues staying healthy. But he got to be on the field in some way, shape, or form. And so I do kind of like the depth that we have, and, you know, because I just feel like we haven't had it. It's been such a drop off. And honestly, you know, since Ahearn is not playing in the first half because of that targeting against Virginia Tech. So I think that may have been a reason too. But you know, Josh is more of a Mike backer than a Will, because like I said, a Will is more athletic.
Yeah. Dan, that's a great point about Josh. I forgot all about that DQ. Also, you talked about the depth, man. Like, you know, we talked about Hunter Stewart, but another guy that's like a hybrid that I just want to see them just let loose downhill is Deshaun Perry. Like, passing downs, are you going to put him in and just let him rush? You know what I'm saying? Because how good is Cam? Like, Cam is a bigger guy. He's 265.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we know what the juggernaut could do, Jameer, as a nose tackle, trying to absorb double teams, cause a power, disrupt with your strength. But when we come to passing downs, like, are you going to, like, what type of sub packages Coach Rudd going to have? So I'm interested to see that.
Yeah. I think, I honestly think Jameer and Aaron Famu are going to tear shit up on the inside, bro. I think they're going to be a problem. And they've been raving about Ben Smiley. Ben Smiley, you know, coach say he going to play on Saturday, on Sunday. I was like, wait, what? Okay. Woo. I'm like, well, that's a statement. So he's had a hell of a spring, a hell of a camp. So I'm like, I can't wait to see him get in there and make some plays, man. I really like our depth across that front because we haven't had it, bro. It's been a minute.
Agree, man. We definitely got depth. It kind of, I ain't going to compare to that, but you remember in the good old days when that team in Tallahassee would just rotate in just different line groups?
Yep.
So being able to have, so just compare, we could go back to 2018 when we basically had two true D linemen and we played Georgia Tech.
That's all
we played in the Belt Bowl. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now you look at that to now to like, you can have depth in numbers, but we got quality depth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And with that quality depth, we got to talk about the position that many will say has been trash can used as a whole. The DBs.
Yeah.
Anybody surprised? I'm going to ask you this. Anybody surprised you as far as the starters in the two depth? Tony Covington, who was a guy back there that did it at a high level.
So the combination of, I know I've been hearing great things about Jonas Sanker, but him beating out Clary, that was surprising. Having Lex Long at free safety at 6'3", 215, it is a little surprising. You know, it's almost like he should be the strong safety and, you know, flip those. But I'm interested to see how the big fella going to be able to move and maneuver in that hole when that ball go up top.
Mm-hmm.
We know AJ going to hold it down. He consistent. We know that. I'm glad Darius can stay healthy. I think he going to do some really good things at that spur position, which is really like a nickel. I'm interested to see Fentrell because he has some struggles. He has some struggles. And I think once he lost confidence, you know, but man, I was on a message board this week and just kind of talking to folks. And I'm like, look, man, what folks don't understand is those kids, all of them lost confidence last year, all of them.
Yes.
And when you don't have technique and fundamentals, that's your baseline. You fall back. If you're struggling, if you lose confidence, fall back to your technique and your fundamentals. Those kids weren't taught fundamentals and technique, you know, so they had nowhere to go. So they just, we just saw it just rolling downhill and it was bad. It was bad. Yep. And so with this group of coaches, you know, they're focusing so much on the technique, eyes and things that you're supposed to be learning. Going one-on-one against wide receivers and tight ends and running backs in practice. Dude, that stuff matters, bro. You know, I mean, when I think back, you know, I'm going against Herman Moore every day in practice. Derek Boyd. You know what I'm saying? I'm going against dudes like that. You know, how was I not? Saturday was easy, bro.
Yeah.
Saturday was easy,
man.
You know, and so for these dudes, you know, look, you got to cover Wicks every day. You got to cover Keaton every day, Billy Kemp every day, Lavelle Davis every day. You got some killers out there on that wide receiver side. So if you don't get better with going against those dudes in one-on-one, you just not a Power 5 Division 1 player. You know, I'll call it like I see it.
Nah, I agree with you right there. Yeah, just looking at Lex Long, just the size, like 6'3", 215, you would think that's the safety that's going to be in the box. And knowing how Jonas Sanker is, his ability and with his athleticism, and it got me thinking, like, well, if Jonas is a guy that could thump, and they basically glare. So Jonas, in a sense, if you listen to how they talk to him, is how talk about him. This is how Bronco and Stav used to talk about Juan Thornhill, how they describe him. You know what I'm saying? So that's high praise for him. If he could pan out how Juan was, that's a great win. He went to a small high school like Juan did. He a super athlete. Like, I watched the kid play basketball, dunk on folks at the Covenant School. But I don't want to get too ahead of myself because Juan was really that guy. But just looking at that too deep, man, and you know, when you pointed out Lex Long, it has me really thinking, like, all right, well, that mean we coming down strapping. Like, they want the athlete on the athlete. You talk, and Darius, we know he could play corner, and we know off-man was pattern reading is his thing. So if you think about the guys that are basically in the nickel slash in the box playing against, like, tight ends or slot receivers, they the athletic guys, and our biggest guy who we would think would be down there hovering, knocking people out, they got him over the top. So it got me thinking, just like you, what them hips look like.
Right.
Flipping from hash to hash.
Yeah. Buddy, because, you know, I mean, look, and so you play a team like Richmond, who they're going to air that piece out. They got a couple of good running backs, but they're going to air that piece out. And so when it comes time to go up top, hey, bro, swivel hips. I want to see what Tusev can do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely want to see. And what's the cat? Aiden Ryan, I was looking for him. He's still banged up.
Okay.
Maybe he's still banged up. And I know Cohen King had the elbow that happened at the scrimmage.
That was a big loss.
Yeah. And I don't know if they put a timetable with that. So y'all ain't going to get no breaking news here from us. We let the staff release that. But, you know, I was really looking for, like, Aiden, because I thought, man, he was playing well.
Really?
And did maybe that's just speaking to – yeah, yeah. He's playing well, man. And then I was looking actually for Simpkins too, because I remember him from the spring. So, yeah, Willie Simpkins the third. I was looking for him. He wasn't up here. So, the DB coach Cox does a great job with them though. Like, fundamentally, I think you would see that they're a whole lot better as far as pre-snap recognizing formations, communicating with each other, post-snap, how they decipher things and point out stuff. Understanding when somebody vacating, somebody's coming and renting the property that somebody just vacated. Cause a lot of times last year, when somebody vacating, we are like, well, nobody else gonna come back.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, we can identify the leaders. You know, we know the nephew Nick Jackson gonna rock in the middle. Shoot, it's probably gonna be Famui or Juggernaut in the middle, anchoring that down. Who else? We're going to have Gucci Man in the secondary kind of holding that down.
Gucci Man, definitely.
Yeah.
He told Gucci Man he couldn't have his pacifier mouthpiece because he wanted him to communicate a lot. So he got to wear a regular mouthpiece, but he might wear the pacifier just for show.
Okay.
He told Gucci Man he was, you know, you're a leader. I need to talk to everybody.
Right. Okay. Hey, they know what they need.
They know what they need.
Special teams. It seems like Farrell got the game on lock as the place kicker and the kickoff guy. And I heard great things about Daniel Sparks, the transfer in. That dude booms the ball.
Booms the ball, bro. Hang time. That's his nickname. Hang time.
That's what I heard.
I'm giving a pun a nickname. You know something wrong,
right?
Take my money.
Indeed. And then Billy Kemp, the punt returner, because we know he's reliable. And look at Mike Collins as the kickoff return guy at this point.
Yeah, you know, the first game last season, he took one to the crib. They got called back. The first two games, he had big returns.
Yeah, and I think that what they'll do, though, man, if depending if they got him back there, I think they gonna try to run it out. But if they not comfortable, they just gonna get that thing and take it at the 25. That's my gut.
Yeah, I just realized Sparks is 6'6" as a punter.
6'6", fam.
I keep telling these basketball players, if you can't dribble and you 6'6", come play football. We'll find a spot for you. Okay. Even at punter.
Even at punter, fam.
Waterboarder football.
Indeed. Well, so, bro, let's talk a little bit about offensively, you know,
okay,
what we can expect. We know we got the horses at the skill position. I know we are concerned a little bit about the offensive line because you know, they had a lot of guys missing practice, sickness, injuries. You know, it was hard to get some continuity. So these first four games, I'm really going to try to hone in on that offensive line and see how they're working together. I think the last week or so, they may have been a little bit more consistent in being able to practice together. But I think they have some versatility with guys being able to play other positions. Justice can also play guard. John Paul can play center. You know, I mean, so that benefits you when you can have that type of flexibility on the interior, because, you know, sometimes flat out you have to. I mean, they've done it in the spring. They've done it early in camp at a couple of early scrimmages. So,
yeah,
and I think that's where that's going to make or break it. But let's talk about the horses, though. Let's talk about the horses.
Yeah, man. So as far as like the guys on the outside, Dontavian Wicks is a guy that burst on the scene last year, 1,200 yards receiving, first team all ACC on the Biletnikoff watch list. I call him Baby T.O. just because of how violent he is when he catches the football. Like, he's not a guy that's a me guy, though. Very humble, just a hard worker, was challenged by Coach Elliott earlier in the spring because you got to take that next step. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was an offensive coordinator for the likes of like T. Higgins and
Ross.
Sammy Watkins. Right. Like, the list goes on and on of receivers that he's seen. So again, if Tony Elliott is coming at you as a skill guy, you listen. Especially running backs, Travis Etienne, you listen. Mm-hmm. Quarterbacks, Sunshine, we got the lucky lefty, ACC record for passing yards per game over 400. Nobody had averaged over 350. He averaged over 400 in the air raid offense. So that's where it takes us to what we want to get to. How is this offense going to look? And in my opinion, they're going to try to establish a line of scrimmage. But I think they're going to play complementary football, meaning they're not going to try to force anything.
Mm-hmm.
If they see something struggling, they're going to be fluid. The one thing that jumped out to me talking to Coach Kitchens before they started camp, like Coach Kitchens' offense, I think he likes to run stretch. And I think Coach Elliott's philosophy likes to run the counters as far as the run game. So seeing that the best of both worlds. Because if you run the counters, your guys got to be able to be athletic and move. As far as the stretch, you know, hat on hat, back. And I think that's why Paris won the job, because when they run stretch, he's been the most consistent as far as his vision and knowing when to be one cut and go, like a Terrell Davis was with the Broncos. So we got a lot of horses on the outside. We know what Brennan can do. We haven't talked about him a lot this podcast, but what's understood don't need to be explained.
Facts.
Five is five.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Bro, he in line to shatter all UVA records, for real.
Just to put
the records away, like forever. Yeah.
Who would have thought, bro? When he first started, come on, we're gonna be transparent here, cuz Bryce Perkins just left. You see a lucky lefty kid that looked like he could play just linebacker. Looked like he got the Phillip Rivers release. Did you think he was gonna be this special?
But think about it though, bro. When he came in the game, whenever he came in, with Bryce went down. Remember, Bryce went down against Georgia Tech one year.
He threw the joint to Joe Reed.
Right. You know, he always made plays when he came into the game. So you saw flashes. And then, you know, I'm hearing like, yo, this dude, he's legit. He legit.
Best deep ball they ever seen.
Yeah. So I'm like, huh? I'm like, okay. And look, hey, we all caught the vapors. Damn, it feels good to see people up on it.
What? He served me. I mean, I ain't gonna lie. I was just like, better than Bryce? He gonna break like Bryce all total offense numbers? And like, to look at the quarterbacks that's been in ACC, man, in his long, illustrious conference history and just all school. But you just look at quarterbacks from other universities that was known to throw the pill. For him to break records like that last year speaks to him, man. It wasn't just the offense. It was him.
Yeah.
I mean, and the moving parts, don't get me wrong, but he deciphers information well. A couple of times last year, he was getting greedy when people were just playing cover four. It seemed like he wanted to keep taking shots because, to me, that's because you know the defense is struggling. You feel like you got to make a play and score. But in your opinion, man, speak to the horses and schematically how you feel like it's going to play out this first game before we talk about Richmond and them as a whole.
Yeah, I think that, man, when you have so much, they don't, in my opinion, they don't want to put everything on Brennan like has been done the last couple seasons. You know what I'm saying? And so they want to be able to spread it out. That's why they want to your point, establish that line of scrimmage so that they can run the ball effectively. They can run a 2-minute, they can run a 4-minute offense, you know, with a combination of balance. Because balance, you know, talking to Coach Kissens, it's all about winning the down. Whatever it's going to take to win the down, you know. And I said, dude, that makes perfect sense. If it calls for a pass to win the down, cool. If it calls for a run to win the down, cool. But and if it works out that that's balanced, perfect, you know. But it's all about winning the down. And when you take that approach, man, it really breaks it down to its most basic form. Just think about winning the down. And you're like, damn. And then the rest will take care of itself, you know. And so when we talk about, you know, the luxury that they have is if they have to go get it via the air. You got a Lamborghini out there. You got a Maybach out there. You got a Maserati out there. You know, I mean, dude, you got a Porsche 911 Carrera out there. Bro, it's some things out there, man. Hey, look, I'm going to tell you what. Them DBs, if they don't get their hands on these boys, man, or safeties over the top deep, it's gonna be highway to the danger zone.
For real.
So
we got Tom Cruise at quarterback.
Yes, sir. We got Maverick up in that piece.
We got Maverick. Hey, look, and it speaks to what you said, man. I love what you said about win the down, right? Because when you listen to Coach Kitchens and when he just, you know, really breaks down winning the down, whatever it calls for, that brings me back to the word that scared everybody, balance. Mm-hmm. That's what balance means, me being able to do both.
Right.
This is like the evolution of what balance means in football, not 50-50, being able to, like you said, oh, you daring me to pass? I'm going to beat you. Oh, you got two safeties high? You daring me to run? I'm going to beat you. That's balance. And in a nutshell for Coach Kitchens.
Yeah, and that's coaching too. So I'm really excited to see Coach Kitchens really utilize the offense in its fullest mm-hmm. capacity, you know, because it could be hard out there in them streets if you know, they get that thing rolling. Bro, hey, it could get ugly out there on some folks, man. Real bad.
Yeah, the block get hot out there for DBs when it's, I mean, we saw that last year when the block, hey, when it's rolling, it's you not want to be a DB when it's rolling, meaning they running and passing because you on your own now, Jack. Ain't nobody playing no games up front doing twists when they running over top of you. You got to be Vanilla, go forward. Now you got to show your hand when somebody just, throwing and passing on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. But let's go ahead. Go ahead.
You'll become less predictable. Yeah, it's harder. It's harder. It's harder to defend when I don't know what you're going to do.
Yeah, man. Speaking of not knowing what somebody's going to do, we're going to go ahead and transition to our opponent, the Richmond Spiders. And I say we don't know what they're going to do because they literally are like us. They got a new offensive coordinator who looked like the coordinator we had in Dr. Bob, who's at Syracuse now. So they got a new coordinator, Billy Koch, who ran the air raid at VMI, and he broke all types of records. They were 20th in the nation in scoring offense, 18th in pass efficiency, 17th in total offense, 9th in passing offense, and 5th in total first downs. Oh, and the guy that's at quarterback who transferred from Maryland was his quarterback for one season at VMI. And their top receiver who was decorated and all everything for VMI, he transferred to Richmond. So what we looking at, cuz? Air raid?
Yeah, bro. They gonna come out slinging it, though. I mean, you know, you're referring to Jacob Harris, who's a Southern, mm-hmm. he was a Southern Conference's offensive player of the year, you know, and he transferred. The quarterback, Reese Adinsky. I mean, he got all kinds of records at when he was at VMI, you know, sixth all time in the Southern Conference and passing leader. So then he transferred to Maryland, was there a year, and then transferred over to Richmond. So and then now he back with his former OC and probably one of his favorite receivers. Man, look, mm-hmm. please believe, and let's not forget the two solid running backs in Savon and Dykes, who are very capable receivers out of the backfield as well. So, man, their offense looks hella scary. Real talk.
Yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting to see just how they come out to attack UVA because they're looking at last year's defense, not really looking at last, but they can hear the noise, right? UVA defense was trash can juice. But then as OC, they're going to look at Coach Rudd and what he did at Air Force, just like Coach Rudd is looking at what this offensive coordinator did at VMI. But then he also has to look at Richmond, other top performers. Because as you said, they started running back is when he's basically the Joe Reed of their conference. Mm-hmm. He's a hell of a kick returner, you know. So it's just one of the things, man. And the receiver is not an ordinary receiver. He's a big body. He's 6'5", 220. Mm-hmm. So that means you better look and lean and trap that hip because he's going to try to maul somebody.
Yeah. Well, so, I always say, you know, my favorite thing, put them down, choke them out at the line of scrimmage, bro. You know, I don't care. Yeah, you being a bigger dude, I'm cool with that because I'm gonna put this hand, one hand in your throat and one hand in your chest. We shutting this down off the gate, right at the line. Straight up, assault and battery at the line of scrimmage.
You a little different. I'm gonna put a hand on their throat and put the other one in their pocket. I gotta run them pockets.
You're like, run me my money, fam.
Run me my money. Give me some of your hype, huh?
Right. Boy, look at here. So, you know, I mean, it'll be interesting. I think Virginia getting pressure will be important. I mean, hey, let's start at square one first. They have to stop the run. That's first. Then get pressure on this dude and be physical in the secondary. You know, I mean, if you know they want to pass it, look, the Great American Chokeout off top. And then, you know, when they do catch it, put a lick on them, bro. Trade a completion for a headache all day.
Facts, because if they have air raid, so if they're if their foundation is the air raid offense, that means you're going to get three to four receiving threats. I mean, it's going to be one guy in the backfield. It's going to be they're trying to put you in space, right? That means you got to be sound tacklers. You got to get all blocks. You got to be sound tacklers because it's a lot of area to cover with the air raid. They're going to have their slots split out to where they're going to see if you're going to split the difference up front. Are you going to favor the field? Because we know a lot of the times they like to run that zone to the boundary just because of what that, you know, if we're in a 3-4, so they're going to look and see what juggernaut is shading. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I'm them, I'm running away from Nick. I'm running at the new ball, the new star, the athletic one. I'm running at seven. Seven, what you going to do? We know what six can do. I'm running at you. You know what I'm saying? If I'm throwing the ball, where three at? I ain't going at 3-2-3. Fentress, I'm coming at you.
Right.
I got to have you. That's why I'm putting my best receiver on 2-3. That's how they going to do. Why go at three? Why go at six? Well, I could go at these guys who haven't made a name yet is what I'm saying. Not disrespecting them, but as a competitor, I'm going at the guys who don't have a lot on their resume.
Right.
If I'm Richmond,
right,
I got to make it easy for myself.
Yeah, and to your point, I'm going to put my 6'4", 225-pound receiver on your 6'1", 84 DB.
Yeah.
You know, that's physics. And that's why, you know, forget that playing off. And look.
Better choke him out.
If it's going down, let's get the shit over with.
Hey, let me tell you something. And this is what I used to say when LaVell was getting off, when he got off versus Duke. I said, if you're going to realize, and we saw that when we played Clemson the next game, I can't allow a big receiver to start rumbling down the field. Like Cove said, as a DB, you six what? I'm going in your face. Because you could post me up after three steps, me playing off. I could pattern read all I want to. You got a catch radius. But when I'm in your face, now I got to see what them fast twitch do. Now I got to see if you're going to panic. You might not be physical. You might look like Tarzan and play like not Tarzan. Because, it's a new day and age. You got to watch what you say. But you got what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, you know, they got some ballers on defense, too. Let's flip to that buddy. Time. They lost some folks. But
they lost their whole D-line.
Yeah. They lost some folks. But, you know, I think they real happy with, you know, the things that Tristan Wheeler can do. You know, they look at him as one of the best, you know, players in the FCS. So, that's saying something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he impressive, man. He deciphers information quick. He's violent. You know, like you said, you can't be a tackling machine if your IQ is low.
True.
Like, if you're getting around to the football, that means you getting it. Like, you know what's coming. You being violent. You getting off blocks. And you finishing. So, that, like you said, that says a lot. Because if we want to run the football, he's a captain, too. You run into their best player, in their opinion. Yeah. Like we are saying, hey, you want to run? Nick gonna be right there. So they like, oh, we got something for you too. We got Wheeler.
Right. Yeah. So I think it's gonna be a interesting dynamic, bro. I mean, for real. I think I'm cautiously optimistic on our side. Just because I believe in our dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, they got a couple of dudes. They got a couple of solid DBs on their side in Hall and Banks.
Hall are like a big boy, too.
Yeah, you know, so they got some boys there. And, Abe Murray on the defensive line. So, it'll be interesting. I think this becomes one of those games to be able to control an offense like they have. It's not enough to just pressure them, to just stop the run, to just be physical in the secondary. Your offense can control the outcome as well, sometimes helping you play defense. You know, and I think that's what Coach Elliott wants to do overall, you know, when he looks at his vision of the program, both he and Coach Kitchens, is being able to control the game with the running. You know, just like Clemson did it. You know, think about it. Travis Etienne and the boy they got, Shipley now, and
Shipley. Shipley.
The
nice.
running backs of the past, and you're like, man, oh my gosh, can these dudes please graduate? But they would pound you, and then they would throw it up over the top. They hit you with the counter, then they hit you with the counter pass. I mean, you know, it was just sweet. And, you know, what I have seen to this point from Coach Elliott's offense, Coach Elliott and Coach Kitchen's offense is complementary plays. You know, one thing about Dr. Bob, he ain't setting nothing up. He just called plays, you know.
You're playing mad now, that thing.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and it worked. It worked to a certain extent because of the weapons that you had. But we still ended up 6-6. So it worked. Yeah. You had a prolific offense. But, man, if you could have done it better, you could have helped the defense out that was struggling, you know, with capable running backs that you had.
Slow the game down.
Right, right. And sometimes you need that because it's going to be hot on Saturday at 12:30. So if you can utilize your running game to control it, man, bro, it makes you more lethal as you move down the field because you have a team guessing. You know, you in there with a mindset of winning it down, but winning it down and crossing the goal line as well at the end of the day, every single time.
That's a great point.
You know, and so when you can do that, you keep a prolific offense on the side. I mean, look, if we roll back to the Carolina game last year, you know, they jump out in front, we track them down, we go into halftime, and then they came out the second half and they ran the ball because they said, we can't stop them. They can't stop us. You know what? Let's control the game. Let's keep that powerful offense on the sideline. And they did. They ran it down our throat, and we didn't follow suit. You know, we didn't follow suit at all. And so you put so much pressure. I mean, you think about how much pressure was put on Brennan last week, and he shouldered the load. He didn't have to. Not when you have as many weapons as he has at his disposal. And so that's one of the things I'm most excited about, just to see the balance and everything that the offense will bring, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, man, I'm very anxious this game. I don't have any expectations because it's a clean slate, new coaching staff, guys that weren't starters to start now. My main thing is, at the end of the day, like, the competitive side of me is like, dog, just risk me. And you got to approach it like, I'm going to beat your ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, when Floyd Mellor came in the ring, be like, yeah, you might be nice, but I'm Floyd. Right. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm going to show you his levels of this. And Richmond going to try to come in and live off the 2016. Or they may not. But you got to come with the mindset like, yo, we're going to punish you. Like, you don't think we could be physical. Like, that's the thing about it, man. Like, what got lost after the 2019 season is that we weren't truly physical once the COVID year hit and going further. Like, when you look at us defensively, it weren't 11 dudes that was trying to be physical and nasty, towing that line. You had like four, but everybody weren't trying to just be nasty out there because last year everybody knew what the hell they was doing, so that hurt. But you know, when you look at, like, the team, the defense you played on, and just when we interview those guys, that same mindset echoes. Like, dudes knew that they brother was going to go get it. Like, because you went up against the Herman Moores and the Tyrone Day. Like, all the guys you went up in practice, you knew were dogs. Once you stepped into the game, you had the mindset, like, this is easy. Like, if I'm a DB on this team, I'm going against Lavelle. I'm going against Wicks, Keaton, I'm going against Billy. I'm going against Brennan Armstrong at quarterback. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get it. Everything should slow down like the Matrix.
Right. And reading the code, baby. Reading the code.
Reading the code. So, and that's how I want these guys to approach this game. Not like I am now, like, that's Richmond, because I'm not playing the game. So I can say, yo, this Richmond, you, but we know, like, You know, this first game of the year, you trying to knock a dude mouth off because I'm tired of hitting my brother that I love. Like, I'm so happy that I'm hitting a spider versus a cavalier. Like, is you crazy? Like, who? You play linebacker, you 220? Man, my linebacker's 250.
Right.
I'm about to run through you.
Right.
No disrespect.
Yeah.
You know, I'm Lavelle Davis. I line up. One of their DBs is 5'10". I know I'm 5'10", but I'm supposed to be barbecue chicken. I'm a little guy. I'm a tap on your head. You 5'10", I'm 6'7". I need that, Brendan. Throw it up. He don't stand a chance. So that's all. Hey, look, man. I'm ready for this game. You can't tell, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the mindset, though, Hulk. I think we speak to it all the time, and just the mindset and how we approach it is that, bro, it's fire in the hole. You know what I'm saying? Yep. I'm a caged dog ready to be let off the chain. You know what I'm saying? And so to finally have some fresh meat on Saturday, you know,
yes, sir.
I'm like, man, ooh-wee. And for us as former players and how we played the game and the mentality that we had, bro, it's hard for me in that booth, bro. It just, look, I love this game and that love just won't go away. You know what I'm saying?
Won't go away.
The physical nature of it, man. And, you know, that's why, you know, I'm run down on that field and I'm in the dudes' faces, the guys that I holler at, I send a text to them before the game and, you know, in the locker room, getting their minds right, bro. Cause I'm like, look, man, you come this way but once. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing promised. And like I used to tell Bryce Perkins, like I tell Tay Wicks, I'm like, light them up, blow them out like candles.
Happy birthday to you.
For real. Speaking of, thinking of a master plan, you know, I go down.
It's just one of the things, man. It's like, as former players who can't do it no more, but been through the process, it's like you just want those young men to have that top flight success of winning 8 or 9 games, like you, like being ranked number one and playing with the greats, like the 6-6 and the 5, like those seasons stink.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the best experience with that. Mm-hmm. You want to go back to 2019, even 2018, like that's what the type of experience you want as far as the vibe of the crowd being there and the 50 to 60, like I want 61,000 to return one day, like 61,000. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah. When
we are called to do a job of being analysts, we do have to taper our emotions because that love is different, man. Like the fans' love is different than a former player's love. Like we love different. Nope, it's not the same love language. And that's why when we do our podcast, we speak more freely because it's our shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, motherfucker, get your mind right. But in front of them 50,000s, I say, hey, let's go Hoos, baby. You can do it.
No doubt. Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, yo. That's what I'm talking about. So, hey, let's give a score prediction for Saturday.
Oh, man. So my score prediction, man, first timeout, I got a score in 31.
Okay.
31 to versus the air raid, 31-17.
Okay.
Wahoos with the victory.
I'm going to go 35-14, Virginia.
Okay. 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 I like that. I think that's fair. You know what I'm saying? Because we know how much the defense struggled last year. So I can't get ahead of myself. Even though I like all, salute to the defensive staff, man. Y'all been doing a hell of a job. Just watching them, the practice film, man. Just the technique and just understanding where to go. Those little things. And look, first game, like everything is not going to be truly revealed the first game. It's still a long way to grow for this team. So if they show some struggles or they show some great highs, you got to taper those emotions and realize now the next opponent got real tape. You know what I'm saying? So, And then we can truly evaluate. Because one thing I said about the offensive line is once they get through this game, 2J could truly critique them and show them, all right, you're doing your own shit, and then you see you got your ass whooped versus, see, you do what I tell you, you be successful. He could finally say that because it's another dude that they don't know that they're going against, and it's a game-type situation.
True. I agree 100%. You know, something that evaluation And I want these kids to have some success. I want the offensive line to really work well and the chorus line together, because it would be great to see them build confidence. Because them building confidence. I mean, you got guys that are confident. You know, your trigger man is confident. Your receivers, they confident. We just need these guys to work together in tandem to be confident on the defensive side, to have some success so that they start playing at a high level and that they can play fast. You know, that's what I want to see. I want to see athleticism. I want to see speed on the field. I want to see some physical, you know, hard pipe hitting mugs out there, bro, for real. I want that kind of experience when I'm watching.
You want that old thing back?
Exactly.
As Biggie said, you want that old thing, like, that, we just want that, damn man, just that old feel of Wahoo defense, man.
Yeah.
The Virginia defense.
Yeah.
We all done played with them backers that were just nasty.
Yeah, bro.
And we got a nasty 1-6.
Yeah, just physicality, bro. Just set a tone from the gate. I mean, ooh, man. Mm-hmm.
Hey man, I can't wait, man. I can't wait. Just to see him on Saturday performing in front of fans. There's new in-game experiences that's available for them this year. So hopefully the fan experience meets the fan base expectations, because I know that plays a role as well. Not only the product on the field, but also what's available to them during games. So, you know, we want to see a good crowd from the fans, man. And you guys deserve a good product too.
It's
like every time we step behind the mic, we want to make sure that the product is A1. So hopefully they take a step in the right direction for this first game for the fan base.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want to see that. I want to see that hill full of fans. Get out there. Show up for these dudes. This is a new era. Let's get it. Let's get it. For sure.
Well,
for
sure. With that being said, Cub, I think, you know, we done talked enough and gave them a preview of what to expect and what to actually look for. Like, we ain't Miss Cleo. We can't predict the future, but at least we can have them looking at the game at a different light, and they can look for certain things to hit us up, whether it's on the Saber or other message boards, on what we mentioned that they saw and what they saw versus compared to what we talked about. So,
indeed.
What's the parting words you got for the fans, man?
Dude, like I said, hey, at the end of the day, it's going to be what it's going to be. And we're going to support our Hoos no matter what. But I'm hella excited to get this new era of Virginia football underway. You know, I'm looking forward to these boys chasing greatness with relentless pursuit, baby. All day, every day.
That's how we're going to end it.
Relentless
pursuit, man. Matter of fact, what's the underdog mantra, man? Let's get that for the people before we get up.
You want to give them the pledge, dog?
Yeah, give them the pledge. We need the pledge, man.
Look, all right. I am underdog because today is the beginning of the rest of my life. I will not be a prisoner to my past, but instead I will use it as a stepping stone to a brighter future. I am underdog because I believe in me. And even in my darkest hour, I know that I am never alone. I will overcome because I know that I can. And if I were you, I wouldn't bet against me. I'm a winner. I'm a survivor. I am underdog. Boom.
Ooh, and if you don't like what he said, and you remember all he said in the nutshell, if you don't like it, sip this shut the hell up juice and do better.
Boom, and there it is. Fans, this has been another episode, a special preview episode of the Wahoo season on the lockdown featuring T-Cub and the Ball Hawk. Until next week, we are out. Go Hoos.